consciously rationalize motive. In other words, sometimes we don't realize why we're hypocrites or saints, as the case may be. Coming to terms with this behavioral foundation was the first dot I connected between hard psychology and intergender dynamics. For roughly a year or two before I enrolled, I'd been actively posting on a few online forums attempting to help some young men with their girl problems. Initially, these forums weren't in any way related to what would later become the community or game-oriented in nature. I'd heard of the early pickup artists like Mystery and a few others, but they weren't promoting anything I hadn't already known from my more libertine rock star 20s. I was more interested in helping these guys not make the mistakes, for much of the same reasons, with women that I had. However, I just couldn't shake the feeling that there was a distinct connection between what these guys were going through, what the PUAs of the time were advocating, and the behavioral psychology I was becoming more and more saturated in. The average beta guys who were agonizing over their girlfriend problems and the behavioral basis upon which PUA techniques were founded had a common root in psychology. About this time, I had joined the online community at sosuave.com. This forum would become my testing ground for connecting the dots I was beginning to become aware of. I should say that I did make an effort to propose that intergender relations were based in, sometimes harsh, behaviorism with colleagues and teachers. I was kind of taken aback more often than not when the same teachers who were promoting behavioral psychology as a hard science were the most outspoken critics of what I was bringing to light for them. I couldn't understand, then, what would possibly prevent them from connecting the dots and coming to the uncomfortable conclusions I was making. I know now, and you will too by the end of this book. But at the time, I hadn't figured out the influence the feminine imperative and romantic idealism had on their willingness to accept what I was proposing, in spite of their adherence to hard behaviorism. My inquiries and hashing out theories and ideas would have to be done on a forum where I could look for input, or maybe find that other men had concepts I hadn't considered, in a meeting place of similar ideas. So Suave was that forum for me for well over 12 years. Most of the concepts you will hear in this book are the result of over a decade of debate, critical inquiry, and refinement. However, in most cases, I still encourage their questioning, and none are unmodifiable or above further refinement. What you're about to hear are a refinement of the core ideas and concepts I formalized on my blog, The Rational Male. TheRationalMail.com. I began The Rational Male at the request of my readers on various men's forums and comments on blogs in the manosphere in 2011. After the popularity of the blog exploded inside a year, it became apparent that a book form of the basic principles was needed for new readers as I moved past them and built upon the prior concepts. For the most part, I've rewritten and edited for publishing the blog post of the first year at Rational Male. I've left in most of the jingoisms and acronyms that are characteristic of the blog and are commonly used in the manosphere. For instance, SMV is sexual market value. However, I've made every attempt to define them as I go along. Furthermore, many of the concepts I explore in this book came from a question by one of my readers. As with most commenters, their anonymity is assumed in the form of their online handle. The important thing to remember is the concept being discussed and not so much the importance of who is proposing or contradicting a concept. Before you begin listening, the primary reason I decided to codify The Rational Male into a book came from a reader by the name of Jackie. Jackie was an older, married woman who genuinely took to what I proposed about intergender